Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Portland City Council. Carla, will you please call the roll?
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman? Sten?
Here.
Potter?
All right, Carla, we have one agenda item on the docket today. Carla, would you please read the agenda title?
Item 1109, Appeal of Jerry Osterholm, Applicant, against the hearing officer's decision to deny a 19-lot subdivision and design review for 19 attached row houses at Southeast Lafayette Street, east of Southeast 74th Avenue, LU 06181122, LDS DZ.
Thank you. In consultation with the city attorney's office, the procedure today will be 5 minutes from the Bureau of Development Services, 5 minutes from the appellant, and then 5 minutes from the neighborhood, at which time it'll be council deliberation leading to a possible decision. So if a representative from Bureau of Development Services would please come forward.
Nizar Slim, Land Division Sections with BDS. Essentially, I'm just here today along with Eric Engstrom, also from BDS, Kurt Kruger from Bureau of Transportation, and Sun Noble with the Bureau of Environmental Services. Basically, I support for this proceeding. This is just a continuation of the previous hearing that was held a few weeks prior regarding this case. That's all I have at this point.
So, Nazar, did you participate in the discussions?
Thanks, you. Commissioner Leonard, I did, was present at the Neighborhood Association meeting with the developer, I believe it was August 29th, and I was there just to sort of facilitate and as a resource. If any of the proposals that were proposed were in conflict with the code, I was to basically, you know, address that part so that we wouldn't go down a road that was non-productive. Otherwise, most of the dialogue was really between the developer and the association.
Was your opinion that they reached some sort of an agreement?
I think there were options put out there, but I don't believe an agreement was reached.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, you're going to use much less than your 5 minutes, aren't you?
And you would be under.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If we could hear from a representative from the appellant, please come forward.
President Adams, I guess I should mention to the audience I was not at the hearing, but I haven't had a chance to review the full record, and so I may have to ask a few more questions because the record isn't always quite as nuanced as the hearing itself, but I think I'm up to speed.
I appreciate that. For the record, Ken Sandblast, working with Jeremy Osterholm, who's the appellant. I guess I would begin by saying, do you have any particular questions? Maybe I could see if I could answer those.
Go ahead. Okay. I'll listen.
I guess I'll summarize the meeting that we had with the neighborhood as a result of our first hearing here in front of the commission. We met for well over an hour, pushing an hour and a half. We started off talking about the primary issue here, which is the turnaround. We quickly turned from the turnaround, which was our primary issue as the appellant and the applicant, to density. There was four or five people from the neighborhood who came that were not at the first meeting, and they wanted to focus on density and simply requested that there be a reduction in density to do the right thing, quote unquote. Given that this is already below density, we had an extensive dialogue about that. We then turned to what I would characterize as broader alternatives, more comprehensive issues. As everyone, I think, would acknowledge, it all boils down to the mighty buck at some point, and we talked about, what is the process, or even just in general, how that would even work. Money needs to be generated in substantial amounts to compensate somebody to drop density when it meets the density requirements. We went as far as even talking about the property purchase outright. We also talked about, and I'm summarizing, we also talked about the fact that this particular application meets all of the codes. As your staff laid out in the first hearing, this is kind of a policy precedent issue as well as a particular application to this particular site. And so maybe this isn't the actual site and I advance this, that this isn't the actual application to take a stand on because it doesn't have a lot of adjustments and various things. But more importantly, we talked a little bit about the fact that the codes need to be changed. If people don't like density, the A overlay, et cetera, that the codes need to be changed, and regulations can through the results of what this group has proven to be very organized and thoughtful. And so I basically pointed out to them that the comprehensive plan is beginning to get ready to undergo its update. And so those are the kinds of avenues where things get changed that aren't maybe on a case-by-case basis. Short of that, there's been no dramatic alteration in the density. The staff has a copy, which was revised plan of what I described at the end of our first hearing, and that is the same exact layout that you would have. And I don't know if you have a copy of it. If you do not, I will give you one because I have one. But it's the same right-of-way configuration and design as you had at the first hearing. And inside of that right-of-way, it reflected a 70-foot diameter with some swales. And at the end of last hearing, after we heard from the Fire Bureau, I advanced that you could do the same right-of-way and do a 90-foot radius inside of that simply as a solution to the Fire Bureau's expressed concerns. Subsequent to the hearing, that diagram or plan was advanced to BES, and they have reviewed it and have tentatively approved it as acceptable without the swales. So at this point in time, it's our understanding that focusing on the issue of the appeal as a turnaround, that there's three alternatives. One is as approved with sprinklers and a stub street for future connectivity. Another is, as was discussed at the last hearing, the 70-foot turnaround inside of a full right-of-way configuration, which would be able to be extended further south. And then the third is the 90-foot curb line within the same right-of-way. So we believe, as the applicant, we've offered three alternatives. They're all viable. And while we appreciate the concerns of the neighborhood about density, and we did actually appreciate the opportunity to meet with them and the fact that they were very well organized and communicated very professionally, that we still don't believe that there's any need to decrease the density in this case. We've met all the standards for that. So in summary, that's where we're at, and I attempted to summarize what we talked about at the meeting.
Questions? Hearing none, thank you.
Thank you.
If we could hear from our representative from the neighborhood. Good afternoon. Welcome. You have 5 minutes.
Thank you. A lot of folks were hoping to be able to speak today, and I thought I had more than 5 minutes, but I will do my best. My name is Marjorie Dilworth. I live on 76th. First of all, we would like to thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for arranging this meeting, and we thank the builder as well, for the developer, for meeting with us. We appreciated the dialogue. Very civilized, very congenial, but for all the cordiality, obviously no compromises were reached, and they still remain committed at 19 units. Not even one shingle was removed, basically. The only thing they're willing to change is the layout of the initial turnaround, and that's only been accomplished by shrinking the size of the yards. As I mentioned last month, we did circulate a petition in the neighborhood, and over 70 signatures are on that petition. It's on file with the hearings officer. The majority, the vast majority, almost 95% signed that petition, and the only ones who didn't were not available to sign or didn't speak English. This development will increase by 50% the density of our neighborhood on only 12% of the land. Many issues are involved. The need for a proper turnaround is what brought us together. We need that whether there's the minimum 10 units or the 19 the developer is proposing. The additional traffic on 74th is a very strong issue. There's 9 congregations that meet at the Jehovah Witness Hall, and they all exit down 74th. There's another 5A overlay further down, just above Center Street, that's going to impact that area if that's developed. There's the police surveillance and crime on an area like this hidden away from view. There's parking spilling out onto 74th. The concern that with time these may become rental units and neglected by their owners, and on and on and on. A street exiting is not too likely. at the bottom end of that development because the people who own the homes down there are not interested at all in selling the back end of their houses, the back end of their properties. So while the issue of the turnaround has brought us together, no compromise has been made, although the neighborhood is willing to make compromise. We suggested a number of things. For one thing, we found out the 5A overlay prevents the developer from putting in single-family houses instead of attached dwellings. That seems to be a requirement. The 5A overlay seems to be a major issue, and we've been noticing in the city with other people, it's becoming an issue elsewhere as well. We suggested a compromise in the middle of 14, removing the south two structures completely and changing the triplex into a duplex, which incidentally would relieve the Muyman's property at the top end tremendously. Right now, their house is the most impacted in the entire neighborhood, and they're the most affected, and yet nothing seems to be done to relieve that problem. It would eliminate the apartment row look to spread the units out. Right now, the way it stands, 4 units have reduced yards and 7 units have substantially reduced yards in order for that turnaround to be a proper turnaround, which obviously is needed. The Neighborhood Association is in agreement that we are not satisfied with any of the turnaround ideas as submitted by the developer because they only degrade the quality of the development by reducing the yard sizes. So in closing, while it may be permitted, we still feel it is not right to drop a development of this size and scope into the middle of a neighborhood made up of single-family homes, single-story homes, most of which are of a ranch or bungalow style. I also need to mention that at both meetings with a developer that the neighborhood had, there was a thinly veiled threat mentioned several times. The threat that if this did not go through, they would come back with a larger development. Either that or they would sell it to someone who would. And I assure you, if that happens, we will be back again because we do not want density of this size put into the middle of our neighborhood. Their product is excellent. We have no complaint with what they build. We're not against the development of this property. It would enhance the neighborhood, we're sure. We're just concerned about the extent that's happening. And so we ask you, Portland's motto is the city that works. Can you find some way to make this work, not just for the developer, but for the neighborhood as well? Thank you.
Thank you very much. One question.
Could
you give me just kind of a broad sense of what you would consider an acceptable compromise?
Yes. This is their plan. This is coming in from 74th mm-hmm. and the new proposed street. I'm sorry, that's my wrong sheet. It doesn't highlight what I wanted. Our suggestion is removing two structures, which would be 4 units, duplexes, 2 duplexes, plus making this triplex into a duplex. By doing that, these structures could be spread out. People would have proper yards. They would not be, these two especially, would not be pushed so close to their backyard neighbors, as well as the one on the end that is a triplex. And incidentally, the Muyman's house is right here. They have no room for movement. The property ends 5 feet from their door.
Is it your suggestion that the two on the right, that if the street was ever punched through, then those would be built, or that you would spread out the remaining development and
spread them out to eliminate the apartment row look? This is not an apartment neighborhood. This is a neighborhood of single-story, single-family homes. And while, yes, these are duplexes, spreading them out would eliminate some of that apartment look.
Thank you. Thanks. That was very helpful.
Pardon?
That was very helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Is there any questions from council for staff? Is there any discussion? Then let's.
I move to deny the appeal and uphold the hearings officer's decision.
Second.
You seconded. Take it.
I would note for the council that if this motion receives 3 votes and passes, you would be making a final decision today.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Stan?
Well, coming in late to this, and this is probably how everybody felt at the last meeting, I feel like a compromise could be reached. It seems like the neighborhood's in goodwill, and it seems like the developer is trying to build something of quality, which is what we want. I'm working on a project now to try and figure out how we get more families with kids into the cities to go to the schools, and because they're being pushed out. And I think this could be a very good project. But having reviewed it and having listened to the little bit today and listened to the hearing before, I would concur with my colleagues that the onus is always, I think, on us to overturn the hearings officer, because that is somebody who's there to make very clear decisions. And so in this case, I think I would support the motion and uphold the hearings officer. Aye.
All right. The appeal fails. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. The appeal is denied. The hearings officer's decision stands. The land use application is denied as a result.
What she said. All right. And that is the only item on our agenda today. We stand adjourned.